From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. It has been quite the week in the Nebraska legislature. As you can tell, it has cost me my voice. It has been very busy, a lot of exciting developments to share about. But of course, we want to wish everyone a very happy Easter, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the most important day of the year. It's the best day of the year, and we wish everyone a very happy Easter. And thankfully, our state representatives were able to get three big victories for family, freedom, and life in time for Easter. Recently, we finally saw the state budget bill with a pro-life provision to eliminate taxpayer subsidies of abortion clinics advance after it had stalled. They also passed a historic bill, first of its kind in the country, that allows the state to distribute for those who request it an official, authentic certificate from the state of Nebraska, recognizing the existence and life of preborn children who are lost in miscarriage at any gestational point. This is about furthering the culture of life and allowing that those who are seeking to have that validation and recognition for their loss to be able to do that. And Florida did something similar last year. And this bill in Nebraska, LB 1040, sponsored by Senator Albright, is the first of its kind in that there's no limit on the gestation that the unborn child has to reach in order to get that recognition and have a certificate. So it's a commemorative certificate for the parents. It's optional. They get it through the Department of Health and Human Services, but it will make Nebraska the first state to provide an authentic certificate recognizing the existence of these lives, these children, which is really incredible and something mothers and families are seeking and deserve and should be able to have that option. And I think will be a really great opportunity to recognize the humanity of the unborn. And it doesn't matter at what point a pregnancy is lost. It has a profound impact on women and entire families. And it passed on almost a unanimous vote. Only Senator Chambers voted against it. So it was a big victory. And lastly, the state legislature also advanced an important anti-trafficking bill to help survivors by allowing them to have convictions set aside and expunged from their record if it happened while they were being trafficked. So it was three big, terrific victories. I'll have more information on that. But when you've got a voice like mine right now, it helps when you can let other people do the talking. And because today is Easter, we want to focus on the good news of the gospel. And one of the greatest, most influential evangelists of all time who brought this good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to hundreds of millions of people was, of course, Reverend Billy Graham, who went home to be with the Lord last month. His son, Franklin Graham, is continuing on this legacy as president and CEO of Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Recently, Nebraska Family Alliance Executive Director Karen Bowling had the opportunity to speak with Franklin and interview him prior to his appearance at the Assure Women's Center annual banquet. It is a fantastic conversation with Franklin Graham, and I'm very glad to be able to share that on the program today. This is NFA Executive Director Karen Bowling with Franklin Graham.
Joining me today on the Daily Spotlight is Franklin Graham. He has devoted his life to meeting the needs of people around the world and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He serves as president and CEO of Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Franklin, welcome to Nebraska.
Thank you. It's good to be in Nebraska.
And all Nebraskans want to extend to you and your family and BGA just our utmost respect for your dad.
Thank you.
And in this transition, I know that there's sorrow involved, but may God richly comfort your heart.
Well, you know, my father is in heaven. So for all of us children, there's really, it hasn't been sadness. We know where he is. We'll miss him. I remember my father telling me about 10 years ago that he still missed his father, and his father had been dead, I guess, 60 years. But I'll miss him until I see him again.
His homegoing service was beautiful.
Thank you.
And it really was a testament to the faith journey that he and your mom, Ruth, have walked on all of these years.
Yeah.
What was one life lesson that you learned from your parents?
You know, I get asked that a lot. I can't think of one life lesson. How do you pull one out of a lifetime of memories? Well, I think what I appreciate about my father was he was just faithful to the message that God called him to preach. And he didn't deviate from that message. He stayed on focus, stayed on message all of his life. And so that's something I'll always remember.
And you can continue on that legacy,
right,
spreading the gospel. You have said America is at a crossroads and believe we should take every opportunity to stand up for things of God and His Word.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And prior to the 2016 presidential election, you hosted prayer events of repentance and prayer at every state capital in this nation. Why is prayer so significant in shaping the destiny of a nation?
First of all, God hears prayer. And I was very concerned that Christians were going to stay home. I believe Christians not only should vote, but there are many that could run for office. And I think we need Christians. I think of just school boards. Could you imagine if the majority of school boards in Nebraska were controlled by born-again men and women of God who aren't going to bow down to pressure, who will stand up, who've got thick skin? And do you know the impact that that would have on this state in 20 years?
It would change the state.
It would change the state. But I'm thinking about all across the United States. And school boards are something that we can get elected to. If we are willing just to, and you say, well, I don't have time for school boards. You don't have time for a school board. You know, it's not like you go to office every day and you have to work in an office. It's something where it's maybe once a month and you meet for an evening and you make decisions that affect the lives of children, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and we don't take it seriously. Christians need to go. What happens is the secularists, they come out, and or they call themselves progressives. That sounds like they're really cool people. It's just another, secularism and communism are the same. They're both godless. But the secularists will put out a book, say, oh, we think this is a good book that will open up the minds of the children and it will teach some great life lessons. And you look into the book and it could be pornographic, filthy, nasty stuff. And people will sit around the table and they'll raise their hand. They'll all vote, yep, that's a good book. Let's approve that. We need Christians who will be on the school boards and say, no, that's trash. We're not going to approve that. And just take a stand for God's truth and His righteousness. So I believe that we can make a difference in this country if Christians got off their seats and got involved politically. Locally, it can make a big difference.
All politics really are local.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that we say around our office is that policy endorses and enforces a belief system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so your encouragement, get out there, run, be on the school board, can shape the trajectory of a city, state, and a nation.
No question.
Franklin, you're here supporting the great work of Women's Assure Center in Omaha. Why is the life issue so important?
60 million children have been aborted since Roe versus Wade. This 60 million, it's incredible what's happening. And I believe that not only should we try to save life, and how do we save life is by encouraging young girls or women who find themselves in this situation, where they would extend life and protect life instead of, because so many people say, oh, just take the easy way out. You can have an abortion, this thing will be over in half a day, and you'll be on your way, and you'll forget about it. First of all, you won't forget about it. It'll haunt you all of your life, and it'll be one of the great mistakes that you make. And having Assure be able to be a place where girls can go and get correct information, get the truth, and I believe saving life is something God not only likes, but God will bless if we are willing to take a stand to save life.
Well, we thank you for your stand for life, for family, and for freedom here in our nation, and returning us back to our Judeo-Christian foundation.
Well, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. there aren't many roads to God, and there's only one, and that road goes to the cross. And Jesus gave his life for our sins, and he died and he shed his blood for our sins. He rose from the grave. He's alive. He's not dead. And he is coming back.
Amen.
And we've got a lot of work to do.
So my final question, looking over the landscape of our nation, you've seen it all. You've seen the moral decline. Do you have hope for America?
Yes. I think when I come to places like Omaha and have a chance to meet a number of Christian people like I have tonight, and you get into the heartland and you see the wonderful people that are still the backbone of America, it does give you hope, especially when you see young people taking a stand for Jesus Christ. It gives you hope. Daniel was just one young guy who goes to Babylon, and he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, that he would stay true to God. And then God used him, and he was, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was prime minister in 7 different administrations. Huge. So, yes, I have hope, but it's going to begin with prayer. We've got to pray in this nation that God would get a hold of the church and that the church would wake up.
Amen. Well, thank you for standing strong. We appreciate your courageous leadership, and our prayers go with you that God would continue to give you influence and audience among kings and rulers. God bless you.
God bless you.
That was NFA Executive Director Karen Bowling with Franklin Graham. So much truth and power in what Franklin Graham had to say. And all I can add to that is, amen, there is hope for America, and that hope is rooted in Jesus Christ. But as I was listening to Franklin Graham and his answers and thinking about this during Holy Week and now on Easter, that the reason that we engage in these public policy debates and really at Nebraska Family Alliance, why we focus on defending religious freedom, the whole idea, the whole purpose of that is to keep the door open for the gospel so that the good news of Jesus Christ and his resurrection can be shared freely and widely, and the right to live and work according to your faith beliefs is not infringed on. That's why protecting religious liberty matters, and that's why we have the First Amendment. And importantly, there's been a Supreme Court case that was recently argued that is about abortion and pro-life pregnancy centers who work to help women who find themselves with unwanted pregnancies choose life for their baby, and they help support them and give them great care. And this is the NIFLA case. But this case is even though it's about abortion and pro-life pregnancy centers, it's really about the First Amendment, and the ruling that comes from the Supreme Court could have wide, far-reaching implications for the entire country and the pro-life movement specifically. The major question in this case is whether the state, specifically the state of California, can force pro-life crisis pregnancy centers to advertise state-sponsored abortion clinics. It's really unthinkable that we could see pro-life organizations be forced by the state to promote values that directly oppose their beliefs and their very reason for existing. That law flies in the face of the First Amendment and religious freedom and free speech rights, and that's why Nebraska Family Alliance joined an amicus brief that was filed with the United States Supreme Court to defend the rights of these pro-life pregnancy centers. And the brief states, it is hard to imagine a greater imposition on individual conscience. It is hard to imagine a more repugnant form of forced speech. Our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom argued this case to protect pro-life organizations and pregnancy centers and allow them to continue to be able to do their incredible work. One of the many elected officials who have stood up and spoke out in support of standing up for pro-life pregnancy centers and their rights in this case is United States Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma, who fully understands what this issue is about and does a great job of capturing the phenomenal work of these pregnancy centers And this is a message that he shared, voicing his support for their work and all those who fight to defend innocent life.
I'm Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma, and it's an absolute honor to be able to address so many people that are so passionate about children. Thanks for engaging with kids in all parts of the country, in all parts of your region, of all backgrounds and types. It is a distinct honor to be able to serve children of the next generation, especially in the way that you get to do it. Standing up for life, literally standing up for people who cannot speak for themselves nor defend themselves. But you have the opportunity to not only talk about how special they are and how unique they are, and how these little children with 10 fingers and 10 toes and a beating heart and a blossoming personality who are yawning and stretching and sucking their thumb and the incredible potential that's in their life that you see that maybe even their own mom doesn't see yet, but you do. And you're stepping up and standing up for that life. Thank you for doing that and staying engaged every single day to be able to help those who need the help the most at one of their hardest times of their entire life. Thanks for doing that. I also appreciate so many of you that are continuing to be able to stand up and speak out for the basic issue of speaking about life and for protecting life in its most vulnerable moment. That's when people are making decisions. This case that we have an amicus brief currently going to the court on what's called the NIFLA case. It's really a very straightforward case. It's a case coming out of California that asks the simple question, can you force people to speak about things that they disagree with? Can you require someone within their own building to present a topic and present an option that they're adamantly opposed to? It strikes to the very nature of not only our religious liberties, but our free speech rights as well. To not require someone to be able to say something that they don't agree with, to not require to put them in front of a camera like I am now and to be able to speak something they don't agree with, or to be able to say to a client something that they adamantly disagree with. We wouldn't require that in business. We wouldn't require a business to be able to advertise for their competition or to be able to speak about something they know is wrong. We'd never do that. We'd never require the First Baptist Church to have to put up a sign in their fellowship hall that says, here's directions to the Methodist Church down the street or the Presbyterian Church down the street or the synagogue down the street. We would never require that church to be able to advertise for someone else because they have the freedom of religion to be able to live out their faith. They have the opportunity to be able to freely speak, especially in their own setting and in their own place. That should be the same for every individual, especially those that are speaking out to protect life. This is an important case, and it's a case that we should stay engaged on, and that we should speak of with respect. We're not going to force someone else to be able to speak about our issues. We shouldn't be forced to be able to speak about theirs. We should be able to live out our own freedoms. Join us in not only praying for and supporting this great effort, but also speaking out about it, and to continue to speak about the value of each child. It matters. We believe in their future, and we believe that we'll continue to be able to do the right thing the right way, that will carry us on to a better future as well together. God bless y'all.
I think Senator Lankford gets it exactly right, and I'm very happy to be able to share that here in Nebraska this past week was a truly incredible day for the pro-life movement. We had first the state budget bill, LB 944, advance. It had been stuck on second round, and there was a question as to whether or not state senators were going to be able to pass a state budget at all over this pro-life provision that ends taxpayer subsidies of the abortion industry by ensuring that the Title X grant program, that is federal tax dollars that states get to distribute to health clinics, is separated from the abortion industry. And the language that is in the budget is a very reasonable adjustment to Nebraska law that protects the valuable services of Title X by completely separating them from the abortion industry. And this separation provides both accountability and transparency and ensures that tax dollars are not subsidizing abortion services. This was able to advance after two failed attempts to move this forward after an ongoing filibuster that a small minority of pro-choice senators were holding over this bill and refusing to allow it to move forward in order to get the 33 needed votes. They were just a few short. And so the Speaker of the Legislature, Jim Scheer, was able to bring some language that's being referred to as a compromise that was able to bring back a majority of senators who were opposing the budget bill and advance it to the final stage very easily once this new language was added. And really, it wasn't so much a compromise as it was clarification on what a referral is and is not. The language states that you cannot be eligible for Title X money if you are performing or counseling in favor of or referring for abortion. So some language was added to clarify what a referral is and is not. You cannot directly refer someone for an abortion, but you can provide factual, accurate information on all of the options, carrying to term, continuing the pregnancy, adoption services, and abortion. So this is a huge victory for the pro-life movement in Nebraska. We've never been able to do this before. The governor, he made this a major initiative for his administration and deserves a lot of credit for standing strong on this issue and seeing it through to completion. This is a big win for him, for pro-life senators, and for the state of Nebraska. To say that we are going to protect life, we're going to cherish life, and we're not going to allow taxpayer money to help support abortions in our state. And right on the heels of this, immediately after this passed through, the next bill up was LB 1040, and this was the bill I mentioned at the beginning of the show from Senator Albright that creates a new type of commemorative birth certificate for families who experience a miscarriage. And it was probably the most powerful, emotional, and moving floor debate that I had ever witnessed. I was there at the Capitol while this was happening, and there was a number of female senators, just one after another, who got up and spoke and shared very emotional stories of their personal experience with miscarriage or a loved one's experience with miscarriage and just how impactful it is and what it would mean for people to be able to get something, an authentic certificate that validates and recognizes that loss. And this is something that the state is already doing for stillbirths that occur after 20 weeks. So they are extending it to now include miscarriages that occur prior to 20 weeks gestation at any point, as long as the requesting parent can verify through their doctor that they were in fact pregnant and experienced a miscarriage, then they are eligible to receive this certificate at their request. And this bill will make Nebraska the first state in the entire country to provide state-issued certificates recognizing unborn human life at any gestational point. This is about creating a culture of life, honoring little lives that are lost through miscarriage, as well as helping the mothers and families who grieve. And this was a bill Nebraska Family Alliance was very proud to support and think it will make a big difference for a lot of families. So we're very glad to be able to celebrate these big, important victories for life right before Easter. And we want to again wish everyone a very happy Easter, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Nate Gross, Policy Director of Nebraska Family Alliance. Hope you'll join us next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.